Welcome to The Whole Marketer, where we look at the holistic skills, the technical skills, soft skills, leadership skills, and personal understanding that marketers of today need to grow the brands and businesses of tomorrow. We're here to ensure that marketers feel supported and empowered to have successful and fulfilling careers and lives as a whole. Hello, and welcome to The Whole Marketer podcast. Today's podcast is a soft skill or human skill. It's responsiveness or acting with pace. And shortly, I'll welcome today's guest, Anna Henwood, onto the podcast. But before I do, let me tell you why I believe it to be such an important skill. Act with pace or responsiveness, as outlined in my book, looks at the need to respond quickly and positively to situations that arise. From reacting to customers' needs at any point along the buyer's journey, change in the market or key players, current events, or even a trending story to create a relevant piece of content that ties and links you and your brand to it. As marketers, we must stay abreast and act with pace and responsiveness to our ever-changing society, culture, and markets to remain responsive to compete. Today's guest is Anna Henwood. She is the CEO at StickyBeak, a platform designed to help marketers make best decisions thanks to cost-effective, rapid consumer feedback. Anna is passionate about agile marketing and brings her international marketing experience from managing the successful tourism brand 100% Pure New Zealand, as well as leading global marketing as CMO for Les Mills International. So Anna, welcome to the Whole Marketer podcast.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me.
So as you know, as an avid listener, we always start with a big juicy question. And today's big juicy question is, what is responsiveness to you?
Well, I have gone straight to where every good marketer is, that is AI. But no, I've taken a dictionary definition because it felt closest to what I believed in, which is, I think responsiveness is that ability to be able to react quickly, but also positively. So in short, it's really just about making good decisions. And we know marketers have to make so many decisions every day. And by being responsive, so whether that's to our customers' needs, whether it's changing market conditions, whether it's new opportunities, reacting to those versus burying your head in the sand or delaying action, I think makes those decisions better informed and ultimately you get better outcomes. So you might recognize that you need some responsiveness if you find you're making all your decisions monthly or quarterly, or maybe worse, annually, because at that point they get really big and they're really tough and they're really hard to change quickly. And that's especially if the next opportunity to change is a whole quarter away. So I think by acting with a responsive way and making decisions or getting information quickly to make a decision. And that decision could be to do nothing. That decision could be to make a small change, or that decision could be to make a bigger change. But that responsiveness to take that moment to assess and decide what you're going to do versus have sort of things happen to you is, I think, what makes a really good responsive marketer. And maybe some of our listeners, what might be more important than acting in a responsive way is creating a responsive environment and a plan to be able to do that.
So in summary, being responsive is being able to make a good, informed decision, making sure that you make those in a timely fashion that suits your business and that you do so being well informed.
Exactly. I think that ability to make those good decisions and keep moving forward is just what's so important.
Tell me more about how you see a team adopting that cultural norm of being responsive.
Yeah, I think responsiveness, it has lots of different words, right? Agile marketing is actually an area that I do really love. And there's lots of principles around that that are similar with, you know, acting in a responsive way. Acting with agility is another way to talk about it. But what I think in a team is so important about it is the way that it encourages and creates great relationships and collaboration. And that's not just across marketing, but within, you know, wider disciplines, our sales and product colleagues, for example. And I think a careful point to make here is responsiveness doesn't mean quick and dirty. It means gathering information and feedback and ideas early and often. So having those channels for expertise, you know, for customer feedback, for learning about trends, if they're open and they're part of the way that your team operates, then I think you've just set yourself up in a great way to be able to react and take hold of opportunities.
So as someone who has created a responsive culture in your organizations and in your marketing teams, tell me more about the benefits of building those great relationships in order to be making decisions early and often.
Yeah, I'm a big believer that ideas can come from anywhere, but it's actually more than that. I think ideas are nothing without great execution. So having your relationships and having that understanding and trust between the wider team means that you can deliver something. And no idea is a great idea until it's executed well. And, you know, you've actually got your go-to-market plan nailed. You've got everyone organized in terms of how you're going to roll that out. And you not only roll it out, but you optimize it and you measure it and you understand how you need to react and change. And having that culture where that has permission, where there is empowerment, where there is autonomy, where the team are given the ability to make those decisions, I think then creates a much better outcome in terms of achieving those, whatever it might be, new product launch goals, that new campaign goal, whatever it might be.
And am I correct to say there's also potentially a cadence that you need to create, maybe a time that you pause and review and analyze that data?
Yeah, totally. And that can often be really project driven in terms of what pace is needed. The team might do daily stand-ups, for example, and they might quickly reflect on things that need a quick pivot or a change based on what they've learned from looking at the numbers that morning. Sometimes it might be more about having a cycle to be able to put projects into different priorities to make sure something gets the resources it deserves. And those timelines may be more like monthly, where you have that, you know, process to review and change and adapt the way that you're operating. But I think having a cadence is a really good way to make sure that that responsiveness or that ability to react and change and sort of baked into the way the team operates.
And what I'm hearing from the first introduction that you gave in your definition, that needs to be more frequent than quarterly or annually.
Completely. Yeah, I think when you can allow that time and that space to be able to reflect, it can be quick and short. It doesn't have to be, I have to block out a whole day to be able to do this. You know, when you're regularly thinking about being curious and looking at the opportunities that you've got, giving yourself 30 minutes to listen to a podcast or read an article or keep up to date with the numbers, all of that is filling you with information and knowledge that then you probably don't even realize helps you make better decisions and can continue on and react and be positive. The space where it can be really difficult is getting customer feedback and understanding what changes and what needs are sitting there with our consumers. And often research is really slow in this space. And so particularly having channels available for that, whether that's through checking in on your own social media, whether that's about being able to get some feedback from the call center calls or dropping in and getting different feedback from your consumer groups. So that's the bit that I find is often missed, and that becomes a super valuable piece of information to have to allow you to make those good decisions.
So it definitely needs to be underpinned with having that consumer feedback quickly so that you can make those responsive decisions.
I think so. Yeah, I really think that often the piece that reminds us or reinforces what we have a hunch around, but it just gives us that confidence to continue down that path or sometimes to stop another path and to not kind of waste your valuable time looking into something that might not be quite in the right space, especially if you've been in an organization for a while. And in my previous role, I had sometimes got to that point. And when new people join my team, I would deliberately say to them, I've been here for a while now, and your role as a new, fresh face and eyes and ears to this business is to listen about what we're doing that is great, and you don't really see that much in other organizations, and remind us, but equally to remind us these kind of bad habits or traps we've fallen into or things that we're missing. And please, you know, tell me about that. And I would make a catch-up time with that person for 3 weeks' time, and that's when they would give me their feedback and would help me sort of have that fresh perspective again about how our team ran, what our customer thought of us, where their opportunities were, and all that sort of thing. So having that, you know, eyes and ears open, having consumer feedback and being open to that, I think is really important.
It's interesting that you talked about those new recruits and actually almost instilling those behaviours early on that I want your feedback. I want you to feel that you can share openly and I'm here to listen. Almost 3 weeks into the role so that you start those behaviours seems to be really important.
Totally. Like, I'm a massive believer in collaboration. So my previous role was actually CMO at Les Mills International. And I don't know if you know Les Mills, maybe from your local gym or even maybe the app store with Les Mills Plus. You probably might know more the workouts, the Body Pump, Body Combat, but they are this amazing global organization, but they have a real marketing focus. And that's not just D2C with the app, but that's sort of in a B2B way and B2B to C. So providing materials for their gym partners all around the world to promote the programs and get people to be more active and healthy. So what that kind of translated into was a team of about 90 marketers around the world when I was the CMO there. So with a team that's as big and in such a dynamic industry, that collaboration, that responsiveness and curiosity are so critical to really make the most of that team and to get everyone, you know, working in the best direction that we could.
So tell me, having led a team of 90, no small task, let's just acknowledge that for a second, and recruited, managed, driven, motivated in a team of 90 with this responsiveness culture. We talked about starting right at the beginning, empowering them to give that feedback to you on what they're seeing and making sure that that lives and breathes. What else were you looking for in those marketeers? What were those skills? You mentioned curiosity, but what else were you looking for when recruiting those individuals into the team, but also trying to embed with those marketeers that were already there when you took that role?
Yeah, it's such a good question. I had an amazing team working in an industry that has such a positive outcome, meant that you were so lucky in terms of the people that wanted to join you, you know, on your mission. And our mission was to create a fitter planet. And that was pretty inspiring, you know, especially in a marketing function. But to answer your question particularly, you know, for me, technical skills, they kind of almost come and go fast. There's just so much to learn in every discipline. The amazing thing about having such a big team is you have a lot of internal capability. So whether that's, you know, all the way from video editing, creative director, social media team, insights, marketing automation, everything's set in-house. And so we had the ability to react fast and to be able to get things out quickly. So when I was hiring people into the team, that way of working was really important, but more so a growth mindset. So we were constantly having to learn about different cultures and new trends and different channels and opportunities. And a marketer who was curious and keen to learn and grow and understand, for me, is so much more valuable than an expert who thinks they know everything already. Having that responsiveness, I guess, that openness and willingness to understand, but importantly, make decisions and move us forward was really key. And on top of that, fun is a really important value for me. We should enjoy what we do. We should feel proud, like the people we're working with. We should feel great about what we're achieving. So having a sense of fun and enjoyment is really important. And in fact, that's a value I've taken through to where I am now as a CEO of a tech business called Sticky Beak, where, yeah, it's really important that we're enjoying ourselves because we're working hard and having a good time.
I'm really glad that you talked about growth mindset and curiosity, and not just because they're two skills that are outlined in the whole marketer book, but because I really do think growth mindset is what separates the best from the rest. It's that knowing that what's got them here won't get them there, and that they are confident in accepting and knowing that they will need to acquire new skills. You know, they may not know something yet. I always say the power of yet, and therefore are open to that feedback and giving feedback and receiving feedback and able to have that can-do attitude to make a change, but also are able to sit in the knowing that they may not know how to do that yet. And so that doesn't prevent them from wanting to make change as well.
Yeah, I completely agree. And all of us, you know, whenever we have an opportunity to go back into learner mode, we should take it because it reminds us of why we got into what we're doing in the first place. Because that's the fun part, I think, for marketing particularly, is the change and the dynamic nature of what we're in, whether it's more in technical areas or media channels or who's doing what, where and when. That's exciting. And that's where you can really get your energy. So to take opportunities to maybe try lead a new function or work on a project that's just a little bit outside of where you're going right now, but to go in there and go in as a learner and ask questions and be open about what the answers might be versus turning up thinking you might know it all already is so important. And I find people that have a really true growth mindset are always solutions focused. So they might not have everything they need to know yet, but they've been open, they've asked questions, they've, you know, reviewed and looked at things, and then they've come up with a solution. And 9 times out of 10, it's a really good answer and it's a great step forward. And sometimes it's maybe not quite and there's a quick pivot and then you move again. But you've, you know, made a call with some good information and, yeah, a really open way of thinking about that.
And as I'm listening to you, one thing that's coming to me is the importance of psychological safety here.
Yeah.
In order to be able to truly adopt a growth mindset, there needs to be the safety to say, I don't know that, but I'm going to try, or I don't know that, or to your earlier point, I'm going to work with so-and-so who does know how to do that, or who may be able to help me with, or has the skills to help us with. And without that psychological safety, I don't think you would be able to create the culture that you are describing here, where you are able to give feedback, you are able to say, I don't know yet, you are able to acknowledge that these are skills that you are going to need to acquire, as I always say in our ever-changing yet rewarding profession. And I think that's really important. I think there's a lot of cultures that I see where that marketer may not know yet and always feeling the pressure to make a decision really quickly on the spot, but hasn't got the information, as you were talking about earlier, to do that. And the combination of those two things can often lead to both internal pressure and stress, but also the wrong decision being made.
Completely. I really agree. And especially when you're in a smaller marketing team, because, you know, I've been lucky to be in large teams, but I've worked in really small teams as well. And where you are stretched across all these functions and areas and expected to, you know the latest and all the detail about them all. And it's just not possible. And particularly early in your career, having the confidence and feeling like you've got the support around you to say that, or to say, I'm not sure, but I'm going to go and talk to this person and I'm going to go and find out and I'll get back to you. It's a really hard thing to say. But I think, as you do as well, you can build that environment and you can build that trust and empower teams to do that. You will end up with better outcomes. This command and control, top-down decision-making, for me personally, is the opposite of responsiveness and it's the opposite of high-performing teams. And so creating that as a teammate, creating that as a leader, that safety, that autonomy, that empowerment of a group is fundamental, I think, to success.
So that team of 90 in-house is no small task. What do you think would be the challenges for those that are maybe using an agency partner relationship to deliver similar outcomes?
Yeah, in my experience, the more you can treat it like one team, the better. You know, like the best agency relationships I've had are ones that feel like an extension of your team. And you treat that group with the same empowerment and autonomy and open environment to be able to have that collaboration, because they're seeing different things to what you're seeing. They're understanding maybe what's happening with other customers and different channels, that if they then feel part of your team, then you're able to have that power of responsiveness, that power of working collectively together, quickly making calls and moving forward all as one. It's obviously not always practical depending on the partners that you're using for different functions. But I think if you believe in the philosophy and that's the way you set out to operate, you will get people working alongside you that way. And if they don't want to work like that, well, then that's something that you probably need to reflect on as well and figure out if that is right for the way that you want to grow your brand and team or operate within your team. You know, if that helps you move faster.
Yes, there's definitely something about being mindful of the culture that you want to create with that one team philosophy with your agency partners as well. When we were chatting offline, Anna, last week, you were talking about how during COVID, you know, this responsiveness culture really got tested when you were CMO at Les Mills. Can you share with our listeners a little bit more about that?
Yeah, it was quite a time. I'm sure everyone has their COVID stories, right? But wow, the fitness area was definitely, you know, shaken up. Gyms immediately were closed all around the world. So from about February, we could see our gym partners in China starting to have to close their doors, and then very quickly through Europe and the US and the rest of Asia and the rest of the world. And so immediately, this business, a really successful business, run from Auckland, New Zealand, having to quickly figure out what 20,000 gym partners and over 100,000 instructors around the world need in order to help make people feel better physically and mentally during one of our toughest times as people. And so again, with that global team, we're suddenly working from, instead of 6 or 7 locations around the world, we're working from 100 lounges and bedrooms and offices and sometimes bathrooms hiding from your children, trying to get your job done and getting our team together and immediately putting them into these small groups focused around a really clear customer problem, you know, something we could support them on, was what we did with the team. And we called them pods. It was basically a break of agile methodology that we'd seen with our development team, our engineer team. And we sort of took our own version of it very quickly and gave people problems they needed to solve. We put a mixed group of skills together so they had everything they needed to solve that problem, whether it was a designer, a digital publisher, or a marcoms lead. And they just had to work fast and make decisions and be completely autonomous. And wow, it was wild. But I believe we did some of our very best work over that time, whether it was supporting clubs with things for their members, whether it was getting people onto Les Mills Plus, whether it was getting instructors to live stream and motivate people all around the world. That kind of energy to quickly solve and get value out the door became something that stuck with the team through that. And it really did change the way we worked in terms of not only within the Auckland office, but globally in terms of connecting the team. I haven't been at Les Mills now for a couple of years, but as I understand it, that global connection in and having a real day-to-day input and direction around the activities that the marketing team are working on still lives on with our European and USA colleagues, all part of that marketing team delivering value. So I've really seen things work well. Like, this wasn't just a nice collaboration story. This is a story where with 90% of revenue coming from B2B, that customer basically closing its door and not understanding where that revenue now is coming from and what that means for the business. It was a pretty stressful time. To coming out the back of that, to having the most successful year financially for the business, and then having a really healthy revenue mix that was more 50-50 in terms of the B2B side and the consumer direct side, it was a really successful year for the wider business itself. So it's not just about making people feeling good and getting to have a decision and a say. This is about creating more growth and better financial outcomes.
I love that, because marketeers should be leading the long-term commercial agenda, as you know.
100% agree.
So it sounds like that was a key point in your career that was both stressful and rewarding.
Yes, for sure.
I'd love to hear your career highs and lows.
Yeah, I've been really lucky to work mostly in places where my values really strongly align. And I think the best example, or maybe where it started, was with a business that unfortunately didn't make it through COVID, but was a fantastic business in its day, and that was STA Travel. And, you know, that job and that organization really resonated with me, because I personally fundamentally believe if you travel as a young person, you're a better human. And that's what they were all about, was sending students and young adults off on this adventures of a lifetime. And then from there, I went to Tourism New Zealand, promoting New Zealand as a holiday destination. You know, that's a dream job. I think ever you've been to New Zealand, so you've experienced firsthand that it's probably not the toughest job to do.
Indeed.
And there to Les Mills, where you're creating a fitter planet. You're helping people be not only physically healthier, but mentally healthier and stronger, and being able to go through their day to day. And now it's Sticky Beak, a tech platform that's designed to help marketers get customer feedback and make better decisions. And I fundamentally believe that, as you just talked about, marketing is a growth driver for a business, and there are so many more tools now and opportunities to make it easier for marketers. And so I'm loving that space that I've now moved into in terms of lifting up and seeing how I can make a contribution to the marketing space. The opposite, so the lows, is probably when I wasn't working in an industry that was right for me. A specific one of those was a stint I did in the gambling industry. And I managed 4 months of my 6-month contract, but it was a really good reminder that I needed to feel like I was making a positive contribution the harder I worked. And where I wasn't feeling that, there just wasn't enough energy and drive for me to want to do that. And in fact, I felt the opposite. I felt really low and I lacked that passion and that desire to get in there and do a great job, which felt, didn't feel great.
Which is also great learning.
Completely. Sometimes you need to go through those experiences to do the learning. But yeah, the most important thing is that you do the learning and you look back and you reflect and you try and figure out what it was about that decision that wasn't quite right for you.
Yeah. And the importance for you to being able to make a positive contribution is what you look for in your current role and in future roles. And I would imagine also as a leader instilling that within your team as well.
Yeah, totally. Working in marketing, it's predominantly female. That's been in my teams anyway. And there's a lot of different parts of your career path that involve family and career changes and sometimes moving to different countries. And they're tough decisions to navigate. And whenever I am asked for advice, my kind of underlying advice is do what's right now, because things change and what's right now might not be the same as in 12 months' time. So try not to overthink what that might be in the future. And instead, just get really clear on what's important to you right now and make that best decision that you can for today.
And that comes back to that responsiveness culture that you are creating, which is empowering others to make decisions. Actually, by alleviating that long-term impact that decision may make and focusing on is it the right decision for here and now will probably remove some of the stress of that decision as well for the individuals when they are having to do that.
Completely, and personally and commercially. Like when you bundle up decisions or you delay decisions, they become massive. And if instead you can break them up or take some steps towards that decision that are intentional and you're clear that you're making that call because that's going to help you understand what to do next, then I find it's a much less stressful way to operate.
Well, Anna, thank you so much for your time on today's podcast so far and for sharing so openly and honestly how you build responsive marketers and marketing teams. We always finish the podcast with the following question. What one piece of advice would you give to marketers of tomorrow?
My advice is to be ready. And I say be ready in a super optimistic way. I think marketing has a seat at the table and there are more and more ways to measure and value the impact of our work. And particularly for women as a leadership path, it's there like it's never been before. So I would encourage you to be ready to take risks, be ready to ask for the opportunities, be ready to grab what's offered. And if you don't feel ready, well, get ready, because I'm not sure that magical ready feeling will ever come, but those opportunities are in front of you. And so I would just strongly encourage you to grab them.
Love that. A nice empowering end to today's brilliant podcast. Get ready. Anna, thank you again for your time on today's podcast.
It was lovely to chat to you. And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for tuning into the Whole Marketer podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please do like, follow and share. The Whole Marketer is here to support and empower you and your teams with the latest technical skills, soft and leadership skills and behaviours, and personal understanding for a successful, fulfilling marketing career and life as a whole. For support, resources and more information on how we can help you to become a Whole Marketer and build whole marketing teams, go to www.thewholemarketer.com.